This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Ahead of the 1999 elections, Nelson Mandela convened a job summit. 10 years later, ahead of the 2019 elections, President Cyril Ramaphosa convenes a job summit. Electioneering or genuine attempts to create jobs? Well, someone who knows all about NEDLAC-inspired summits is economist Raymond Parsons, professor at the Northwest University School of Business and Governance. Raymond, please excuse my cynicism. How are you doing?
Good evening, Michael. Well, I might have shared that cynicism, but as you rightly say, I've sat through many summits with a lot of frustration, and understandably, there's a skepticism. Well, another talk shop, but I was there yesterday, and I've got the 84-page document, which seeks to consolidate all the decisions and the commitments that were made. And I must say, I've come away feeling that this was a summit with a difference. And I would say that difference really stems, firstly, from the fact that one sensed that in the mood of the meeting, there was a shared urgency about what we are facing as an economy, and especially unemployment, and that this seemed to sort of concentrate everyone's mind wonderfully on trying to reach a certain set of agreements on the way forward and what would be done collectively. I thought, secondly, that the leadership by our president made a difference. He was very visible there both yesterday and today. Unlike many other guest speakers who just arrive and then go and leave everyone to their own devices. He's thrown his weight behind the document, behind what needs to be done, behind the compromises, some uneasy and some easy, that are reflected in the document. Interestingly, I thought that in his address, he nowhere referred to the global economy. You know, usually that's a smokescreen. Well, you know, we have to shift some of the blame onto the global economy. He put it very squarely on the shoulders of the stakeholders in South Africa, of the government, and said, we have to find the solutions. And I think that was really where he was coming from. And then finally, but I think more importantly, what really distinguished for me in this summit and in the documentation is the commitment to monitoring, to implementation, and to timelines. This is something I've said more than once, that where we failed in the past is to have these talk shops which seem to go nowhere, although they look good on paper. And the potential in this summit lies in now grasping these commitments and making sure that they will happen. And certainly the timelines, and through the so-called, I think it's called the President's Job Committee, will meet every 3 months to put everyone's feet to the fire. Where are you with what you've said you would do within certain timelines? I would also perhaps preface my remarks about the job summit so that we don't have exaggerated expectations, because you've got to see it as part of a short-term trilogy. The first is, of course, that there is this economic stimulus, which will be concretized in the mini budget next week, or at least the week after, and we'll have a better idea of what outcomes could then be welded together with what was decided in the last 2 days. And then, of course, there's also the important investment summit, which is on the 26th of October. And for me, these are two sides of the same coin, job creation and investment. So I think we must see it in its bigger picture, although for our discussion, I think we must see what spin-off and what advantages can we get from what was decided in the last 2 days at the job summit.
Well, that's a nice, pithy summation of the last 2 days, Raymond. I still, having a look through, not the full document that you have in front of you, but the statement that was published on the presidency's website today, I take this statement, for example. The extreme unemployment in the country is the product of an economy that for several decades has been starved of any meaningful investment in its human capital, where most people have been denied the opportunity to own assets or develop skills. Now, for me, that just doesn't wash, because for the past two decades, we've enjoyed a constitutional democracy with a democratically elected government spending outsized amounts on basic education, benchmarked against our OECD peers here. And where in our law have we actually denied people opportunity to own assets? I mean, to me, that is an absolute smokescreen and red herring. It's not owning up to the failures of the government to deliver the basic education required to upskill our people and to allow them the ability to create and grow wealth through the ordinary market forces.
I think that's a valid point, but I think one must be very careful not to lift out a particular quote from an 84-page document, because after all, in the end, there's a certain degree of rhetoric in the document. What matters to me are the realities, the commitments that have been made, and the wording. You know, as long as we get there, I'm not too fussed about the wording. That was certainly not a major point for me in either what the president had to say or what I see in this document. And I'm saying to everyone, and I think that was the mood of the meeting, whether you spoke to the business constituency, to government, to labor, or the community, I think many of them have sat through these gatherings, and everyone came away feeling that this document could go somewhere. Yes, it's a product of compromise. Compromise means you might not like some of the wording. Others can live with it because they don't think it's what's going to matter. What's going to matter are going to be the tangibles that can emerge, the potential that can emerge, and can it make a difference?
Give me an example of some of those tangibles, because if words were jobs, we'd be at near full employment right now. Give me an example of some of the tangibles.
Well, some of the tangibles, let's take small business. Now, there's quite a section here that deals with small business. For example, this is an old adage, but the fact that it has to be said again is perhaps proof of what we have failed to implement. That is, the government will pay small business within 30 days. I'm just using that as an example. Mm. That's an enormous factor for small business. It actually affects their survival. And so the issue also of uncertainty, policy uncertainty, I know we've discussed it before. The important point here is that you sense a somewhat bigger commitment on the part of the stakeholders, that is business and government, and by government. But in particular, we've brought it all together in a more coordinated way in one document. And I think that's an advantage. Now, you may say, well, where's that going to get us? Well, it depends how we implement it. I will fully accept that we've poured some old wine into new bottles, but it's a better bottle and it's a better blend of wine. And now we've got to pour it successfully. So I think the important point here is, yes, we can all nitpick. I can also do it. But I think the situation is too serious. There's enough good stuff here, which if it's taken by the scruff of the neck and implemented it in the next year or few months and then going, because some of it can be done almost immediately and should have been done yesterday. Others will take a little longer. But I think it's the main thrust and the commitment which now the challenge is, together with other things, which I mentioned earlier, might make a difference. So I see this as a great potential, but it's going to take implementation to turn that potential into reality and make a difference on the ground.
To make sure that is a good vintage in that new bottle that we're sipping in from now. On the definition of work, I know very often when labor and business and government talk, we talk past each other on the definition of employment. Cassatu calling for decent work, not just work. Was there much time or emphasis placed on the sort of jobs that we are looking to create at this juncture, or is it just about creating jobs, just about ensuring we get as many people in employment and gainfully employed and with a sense of hope as possible and as quickly as possible?
Well, I think obviously as far as Labour is concerned, that they would put emphasis on us getting decent jobs. I must confess that in the debate and what the president said, there was only talk about jobs. I think implicit is, of course, that there shouldn't be exploitation and so forth. I think that's implicit. So I think the underlying theme is we hope there will be decent jobs. But the thrust is really to ensure that what jobs are generated, especially for the youth. I think we can already see some of the political and social reaction in regard to the youth who feel dispossessed and don't have a future. And there was an enormous emphasis on what the private sector can do to add value to being able to offer more jobs to the youth. I come back to my point. There was a number put there of 275,000 jobs. I think it's nice to have a number, but the fact is that in the total scheme of things, it merely proves my assertion. We can't put all our eggs in the job summit basket.
We've got to wait for that mini budget in a couple of weeks and then the investment summit shortly thereafter. I think that's where attention now turns. Professor Raymond Parsons giving us a wrap-up of the two-day jobs jamboree.